If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Acts this evening, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse 37. If you have your place in the scriptures and are able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Acts chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you again for your love, for all you do for us, for saving us. Lord, certainly we are unworthy. Now, God, I pray that you'd just help us tonight and speak to each and every heart. Lord, we need you. God, I need you. I pray you touch me. I just want to be a blessing to these folks. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Title of the message tonight, Don't Miss the Point. Don't miss the point. It says here in verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Okay? They were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And by the way, before I give, this is not the message, but let me just throw this in. Campbellites have totally misrepresented this verse, and they want to tell you that you got to get baptized to go to heaven. They say, well, the Bible says you have to get baptized to go. It's not what the Bible says. Very clearly says otherwise. But notice verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, what they want to tell you is that you need to get baptized to have your sins remitted. But that's not what it says. That's not what it says at all. It says for the remission of your sins. In other words, because your sins have been remitted, okay, you get baptized. You get baptized because of. That's what the word for means, okay? I came up the steps for the auditorium was on a higher level. Okay, now the auditorium is not on a higher level because I came up the steps. All right? I am baptized for the reason that I was saved. Because I was saved, so now I get baptized as an evidence of that salvation, of the work that Christ did in my heart. Don't let somebody twist scripture, okay? You be careful about that. But again, that's not the message. But verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. You see, Peter had been preaching. He'd been preaching hard. If you go back a few verses there to verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. He was preaching. Amen. Peter was preaching to the folks, and he was preaching. He lifted up his voice, he's preaching loud at heart. Isaiah 58 and verse 1, the Bible says, Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. All right, so he was preaching. I don't believe that Peter stood up there and says, All right, folks, I'm glad y'all came today. We're going to have a little talk from the Word of God. I don't think that's what Peter did. He preached to them, okay? He was preaching to the folks, and God used the preaching to bring conviction into their hearts, okay? The Holy Spirit was working in their hearts, and that's what he does, amen? He works in our hearts. He takes the message, and he applies it to our hearts, and he brings conviction to us, and that's one of the works that the Spirit of God does in our lives. John 16 and verse 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's the Holy Spirit. And of course, he has come, but at that time, he had not yet. And so now, when Jesus ascended to heaven, he says, I won't leave you comfortless. I'll send you another comforter. Of course, he sent the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is a comforter. He does many things, but one thing he does is he convicts our hearts when necessary. That's what he was doing here in the book of Acts. And by the way, that's the difference between preaching and teaching. Okay, teaching, and we need teaching. Don't misunderstand me. Okay, it's good to be taught. All right, but what teaching does is just puts the facts out there. Just so you know, this is what the Bible says. Preaching brings us to a point of decision. All right, preaching brings us to the point of a decision, and the Spirit of God uses preaching to bring conviction to our hearts. Have you ever noticed that it's rare? Almost never is there an invitation given after the Sunday school hour. I have given an invitation after Sunday school in rare instances, but most of the time we just give you information. And we take that, we mull that over, and if we can fit it in somewhere in our lives, we do. After preaching, we always give an invitation. Amen, Pastor? We always give an invitation. Why? Because preaching brings us to a point where we have to make a decision, and we are forced with deciding, do I just sit here, or do I come to the altar? God spoke to my heart about something. Now, every message doesn't necessarily drive us to a point of decision, doesn't necessarily bring us to the altar. I think I mentioned it this morning. Every now and then, we ought to get an attaboy, okay? Every message shouldn't necessarily be convicting us of a problem in our lives. There ought to be a few things we got right, especially if we've been saved any length of time, okay? But preaching brings us to that point where we've got to decide, what do I do? Do I continue on, or do I deal with it? Do I meet God at the altar and talk to him about it, make a change in our lives? Now, some folks say, well, the altar is not for me. I'm not going to the altar. I'll pray about it at home. You made a decision. You made a decision to put God off. It was a decision you made. You made a decision to deal with it later. Okay, but you had to make a decision. Preaching always brings you, when the Spirit of God convicts us, okay, preaching always brings us to a point of decision. All right, now that's what was going on here. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4, the Bible tells us that there would come a time when they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, okay? They want to teach them, we want to be taught. We don't want preaching. Don't preach at me, okay? just give me teaching. And that's so common today. There are so many folks that, especially a lot of these mega churches, they wouldn't dare preach, but they do a lot of teaching, okay? It's real shallow. Nobody's ever convicted. Everybody feels good when they came in. They feel good when they leave. Nothing's changed. All right, don't step on my toes. Don't convict me of anything. I don't want that in my life. I'm content with the status quo and the preachers, if you want to call them preachers, the teachers, if you will, they are content to oblige and not to offend anybody. But see, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians. Let's go ahead and look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. All right, so preaching is what God uses. To the world, it's foolishness. Back up to verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Look at verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God uses preaching, all right? God uses preaching. And preaching brings us to that point. Now, I'm not trying to tell you you shouldn't be taught, okay? It's a good thing to be taught. But if I had to choose between preaching and teaching, I'm going to choose preaching every time, okay? Because preaching makes a difference in our lives. All right, I like both. Okay, I think there's a call for both, but preaching is important. We need preaching because it helps us to make changes in our lives. Now, that's exactly what was going on here, and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" I mean, the preaching got them to the point they were pricked in their heart. The Spirit of God got a hold of them. The Spirit of God pricked them and brought some issues to their attention. And they cried out. I mean, they didn't wait for the invitation. They cried out in the service, "Men and brethren," that's speaking to Peter and the other preachers that day, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? Got to make a decision. What do I do? Preacher, what can I do? I don't want to go to hell." They had, now, and by the way, when the Spirit of God gets your attention, you respond. That's what they did. They didn't even wait for the invitation. Now, it's customary for us to wait for the invitation, but can I say this? You won't offend me if at any point during the service you just feel like, I got to talk to God. And you get up from your seat and you come down to this altar, you won't offend me at all. You move when the Spirit of God moves on your heart, you obey. You get up and move. If you feel the need to come and pray during the service, you feel the need to come and pray during a song or any time during the service, this altar is open. I mean, many times we say, the altar will be open in a few minutes. The altar is always open in the house of God, all right? Any time you come by here and preacher's studying, he won't mind if you come in and come to the altar and pray during the week. The altar is always available to speak to the Lord. Now, there was a time when you could just leave the church unlocked. The world respected the house of God, and you could come in day or night, any day of the week. I remember growing up, they never locked the church. Why would you lock the church? You know? But then there came a point where, even as a kid, where they started locking the building. You just couldn't trust people. It's sad. All right. So when the Spirit of God gets our attention, we respond. "Pastor Lance, what can I do? God spoke to me about something. God spoke to me. I fear that I'm on my way to hell. What do I do? Or there's an issue in my life. I'm saved. I know I got that settled, but there's an issue in my life that the Spirit of God has brought to my attention. Preacher, what do I do? How do I handle this? Where do we go from there?" You see, you come while he's calling you. We don't put it off. Look at it again. I just want to make sure you get this. Verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart," notice, "and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter answers them, need to get saved, okay? Repent, be baptized. Verse 40. "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And then so many of them, I mean, 3,000 or so, got saved and baptized that day. They didn't put it off. They didn't say, "Well, that's a good thing to think about, Peter. Hadn't heard it put quite that way. Let me mull that over a few days or a few weeks." And no, that day, they did business with God. when you feel like you've got to do something, when you feel like God's speaking to you, don't just grab a hold of the pew in front of you and hang on for dear life. "No, I can't. I'm not going. It's not the Holy Spirit telling you to hang on. That's the devil telling you to put off a decision. So many times we put off a decision for the Lord and then it grows cold and we never get around to doing it. It's like anything else. I mean, we're that way in other areas of our lives, aren't we? When we get an idea, if we follow through with it, it gets done. But if we say, someday I'm going to do that. How many projects? I don't know about you, but I know me. How many projects have I said, "Someday I'm going to take care of that. Someday I'm going to finish that project at the house."
Someday I'm going to get some gravel and fill that hole in the driveway. Someday I'm going to, yeah, right. Someday I'm going to prune that tree. In the meantime, and we're kind of praying, Lord, I hear there's a storm coming. Lord, if you just took that tree down, I wouldn't have to prune it. We don't get around to things, okay? But if I had the thought, you know, someday I need to prune that tree, well, I'm just going to go get the pruners and do it. I'm just going to take care of that, and that's out of the way. Well, it's no different. We're in the house of God, and the Spirit of God speaks to us. We know something's not right. Let's deal with it. Amen. Let's take care of it. Take care of it right then. Amen. Now, there may come a time, this is scary, there may come a time that He'll no longer deal with you about this. There may come a time that He'll say, well, that's all right. I got it. You're not interested. I'll move on to somebody else. There could come a time when He no longer bothers you. It happens for lost folks. There can come a time when the convicting of the Holy Spirit just doesn't happen anymore. We grieve the Spirit of God. We keep saying no, 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 no. I believe the unpardonable sin is telling the Lord no one time too many. I've not actually seen it happen, but I've known of folks who told me. We're witnessing to a man, went to his home, and they said, sir, I'd like to tell you about the Lord. Try to give Him the gospel. Pastor, I know all that. He could quote it. He knew the gospel inside and out. But he says, Pastor, you're wasting your time. He says, I can't be saved. Oh, yeah, you can. Sure, you can be saved. Everybody can be saved. Pastor, not me. Many years ago, God convicted me that I needed to be saved. I knew I needed to be. I knew what to do. I knew how to get saved. I wouldn't do it. I knew I was supposed to go forward to church. I wouldn't do it. But I felt something inside. Something inside kept drawing me that I needed to get saved. I needed to get saved. I needed to get saved. But I kept saying, no, 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 not, maybe another day. No, no, no. Pastor, I don't feel that way anymore. Can I tell you that if the Holy Spirit doesn't draw you, you won't come? We don't come on our own. Yeah, we have to willingly accept the Lord. I get that. But He initiates the process. He convicts us of our sin and He initiates the work. And then we have to willingly agree to it. Don't keep telling the Lord no. God's speaking to you about something. Maybe you're saved. Okay, I trust y'all are saved. If not, don't put it off. Maybe you've been acting like a Christian for all these years and everybody thinks you're a Christian. You come to church, you sit in your place, you tithe, you do all the spiritual things, but you know deep down inside you're not saved. God convicts you of that, and you realize you're lost. You need to come to the altar and get saved. Amen. Don't keep putting it off. But Christian, God speaks with us too. His Holy Spirit doesn't just shut down after we get saved. Well, I'll just seal Him to the day of redemption. Now He's sealed, I can leave Him alone. I'll go look for something. No. He's kind of a partner with us. He partners with us all the way to glory. Amen? And we're all sinners. And so every now and then, He says, hey, buddy. In fact, you're not going to believe this. He's a great guy, He is. But you know, every now and then, the Spirit of God taps this man on the shoulder too. Just like He does me. Okay? Every now, all of us get convicted of the Holy Spirit. And what do? Got to make a decision. We've got to make a decision. I pray, folks, that it'll be the right decision. Amen. I pray that it'll be the right decision. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19 says, quench not the Spirit. Don't ignore the Spirit of God or tell Him no. That's dangerous. Now, I want my life to be pleasing to God. If there's something broke, I want to fix it. Amen? And if I keep saying no, 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 pretty soon I made the analogy of the doctor this morning. The doctor says there's a problem, you need to deal with it. Doctor's been a little concerned about my blood pressure. And really, really wants to put me on blood pressure medicine. And I'm really not wanting to go on blood pressure medicine. So I'm trying real hard. And I've actually brought it down. I'm not sure I can convince her that it's low enough, but maybe I need to work a little harder. But I'm working on that, okay? Now, if every time I went in and she says, your blood pressure's too high, you got to get that down. I'm worried about you. I'm worried about your heart. See, this is serious. And I just blew it off. Yeah, all right, doc, you know, whatever you say, and just ignore her advice. I don't go every week, but whenever I go, just keep ignoring it, pushing it aside, laughing it off. Number one or two things. She's either going to just quit telling me, or she's going to say, I need to find another doctor. What do you think the Spirit of God's going to say when we keep saying, we just laugh it off? I know I need to get to the altar. I know something's not right in my life. It might be bitterness. It might be a lack of serving God, not reading our Bibles, missing church service. You know, whatever it is, there's a million things we can do that offends the Lord. Amen. whatever it might happen to be, and we just keep ignoring God. That's serious. We don't want to quench the Spirit of God. And let me throw this in while I'm there. Quenching the Spirit of God, there's so many ways we can do that. And I don't expect that y'all would do something like this, but when the invitation is given, oh my goodness, the most important part of the service. And a lot of times, folks are getting up there, zip, 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 zipping their Bible covers, they're getting their coats on, gathering their stuff up and everything like that during an invitation. And there's somebody sitting near that maybe the Spirit of God spoke to them. They're just about to make a decision for God. And now their attention is drawn to you rather than to Him. Okay? No, getting ready to leave. I mean, come on, seriously. How long does it take? How long does it take to gather our stuff up if we wait until after the last amen? How long does it take, really? Well, I got to be the first one out. Okay. As soon as the last amen, you gather, make it nice, a nice, neat pile before the service so you can pick it up real quick. Okay. No, don't quench the Spirit of God. Somebody might be just about ready to get saved and their attention is drawn to something you're doing. And you, maybe you can help the children too, okay? The children sitting around you or something, you know, maybe on a Sunday morning. Maybe you can kind of help them a little bit and help them to understand. And sometimes they don't understand, but an adult, if we do it kindly, we can actually be a help to them. Amen? I said, come while he's calling you. Now, the altar is a special place. In the Old Testament, animals were sacrificed on an altar. All right, now we no longer need an altar for that purpose. All right, don't be bringing animals in and say, you know, I got my knife, I got my lamb. You know, we don't need to do that anymore. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Yeah, they would bring animals to the altar, but we no longer use an altar for that purpose. Christ's death on the cross was the last blood sacrifice that God would ever require. Hebrews 10 and verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. All right, since that was not possible, and we can't read the whole passage right now, but Jesus, the Lamb of God came. All right, go down to verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus Christ, amen, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. No more need for blood sacrifices. We don't bring an animal to the altar. We don't bring a sacrifice like that to the Lord at the altar. But no, go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We still use the altar. But our sin's already been atoned for. It's already been paid at Calvary. The blood of Jesus Christ paid for our sins. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Bring a sacrifice to the altar, amen, but present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right, so you bring your bodies a sacrifice, present our bodies as a sacrifice to the Lord, a living sacrifice. All right, it wouldn't hurt for us to literally bring our body to the altar during an invitation and just, I mean, we could literally lay out on the altar and say, Lord, I'm giving myself to you. Or we could just kneel there. We could sit at the altar. We'd say, well, I can't kneel. I can't sit. We could sit on the front row. We'd get as close to the altar as we can and say, Lord, I'm here for one purpose. I'm here to offer my body as a living sacrifice for you. I want to live for you, Lord. I'm giving myself, me, okay, myself. I'm giving me to you, God, to use however you want. I'm giving me to you. Now, he doesn't want blood. He took care of that, okay? Enough blood's been shed. He shed his own blood. Our sins are paid for. But he's looking for willing people to give themselves. So, yeah, sacrifices are still good. The altar is still good. The altar is still important. It's a very important part of the church service when we offer at an altar. It's so important that we use the altar. Many times the altar in the scripture was erected to remember something that God did in our lives. Many times they would erect an altar just as a point of remembrance, just as a particular time, for a particular time that the Old Testament saints might have wanted to remember something in their lives. Jacob erected an altar at Bethel, you recall, and the children of Israel, they erected an altar as a memorial, okay? After they crossed over the sea, they erected an altar. After they crossed the Jordan River. A lot of important things in the scripture happened and was memorialized by an altar. So many important events in my life happened. I was saved in an altar. I came to an altar to trust Christ as my Savior. I was called to preach at an altar. I was married at an altar. Special important events happen at an altar. All right, I believe there's something special about the altar of God. There's something special about coming to the Lord. And so many times we say, "Well, I'll do it later," but we don't get to it. We don't have that special place. Now you can erect an altar at home. You can have, if you're listening live stream, you can't get here for whatever reason. You can erect an altar at home. You can use your couch as an altar. Dedicate a particular area of the home. I'm going to use this as an altar today, and I want to meet with God, and I'm presenting my body to you, Lord. Or Lord, I'm dealing with this particular issue that you put on my heart. This way that you pricked my heart. You pricked the heart, and God, I don't want to miss the point. There was something you were doing. There was a reason you had the preacher say what he said. And so Lord, I'm going to act upon that. And I'll make an altar, or I'll come to the altar in the house of God and I'll deal with it. So many special days at an altar, special events at an altar. Sometimes an altar was erected just because they simply had a desire to communicate with God. Every time we come to an altar in church, it doesn't necessarily mean we're confessing a sin. We might be presenting our body to the Lord. Well, I did that. I wonder how many times, really, and this is probably all of us, how many times we give ourselves to the Lord, we present ourselves, we lay down on the altar, and then we get back up again. Obviously, we don't stay here, okay? You go home, get some lunch, but what I mean is we change our minds. And we take it back from God. God, I gave you my life. God, you know, I gave you my life the first year I was saved, I gave you my life. But did you take it back the second year and kept it ever since? So many times we go back on our promise with God, and sometimes we just need to kind of recommit. And Lord, I'm sorry, I was kind of an Indian giver. You know, I gave it to you, but I took it back. Sorry, Lord. Sometimes we come to an altar to pray for loved ones. Sometimes we come to an altar and weep for souls. Let's use the altar. Let's use the altar. It needs to be a place we frequent. Really, this is the most important place in the house of God. You say, well, Brother Black, I thought the pulpit was the most important place. Kind of rival the two. What good's the pulpit if we never use the altar? We've missed the point. Don't miss the point. There's a reason for the pulpit. There's a reason for the preaching. There's a reason. Don't miss the point, church. There's a reason that God put it on the preacher's heart to have a revival meeting. There's a reason. Don't miss the point. This is for you. Now, I can't tell you how where God's speaking to you. Only the Spirit of God can do that. I don't know who should come and who shouldn't. I don't know that. But He does. Don't grieve His Spirit. Don't grieve the Lord. When the Lord's doing something in our lives, these folks got saved that day. They couldn't even wait for the invitation. They interrupted the preacher. It's okay. It's okay. You don't have to wait for the invitation. Don't put it off. Let's stand with heads bowed. Father, I don't know why You put this message on my heart tonight. But God, I pray that You'll help us to take advantage of the opportunities You give us. Help us not to put off decisions for You. Help us to keep a tender heart to the Lord. Father, move in our midst. Move in the hearts of Your people. Have Your will and way in the invitation. And we'll thank You for it.